came to gain victory over Bari Maharaj, Vamandev kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. So when Lord Vamandev kicks Ravana, the demon, he was pushed away by a distance of 80,000 miles. But it's interesting that even though he was kicked for such a long distance, Ravana did not die in that. He was still alive. Normally, if I fall from a couple of feet, maybe 20 feet, 30 feet to the ground, my bones will break. I may not be alive. I still remember a friend of mine. He was playing, particularly Sankranti time, he was flying a kite. It was on the third floor building. And then he did not see the back, and then he fell down. And from that 35 feet, like a potato, he dropped to the floor. But the interesting part was, he just got up and then he rubbed his body and went back home. And he did not tell anyone that he dropped. So he had been fine. Ravana was kicked by the Lord and he flew 80,000 miles away, but still he was alive. So I shall explain the character and activities of Bali Maharaj later in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Prabhupada's proceed there. The next verse, we go through only the translation. Beneath the planet known as Sutala is another planet called Talatala, which is ruled by the Danava demon named Maya. Maya is known as Acharya of all the Mayavis, who can invoke the powers of sorcery. For the benefit of three worlds, Lord Shiva, who is known as Tripurari, once set fire to the three kingdoms of Maya, but later, being pleased with him, he returned his kingdom. Since that time, Maya Danava had been protected by Lord Shiva, and therefore he falsely thinks that he need not fear the Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Interestingly, Maya Danava appears in the pastimes of Lord Ramayana, and he also appears in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, or you can say Mahabharata. So in Mahabharata we find that here is Maya Danava who builds the beautiful palace for Yudhishthira Maharaj or for the Pandavas. And I think the name itself is called Maya Sabha. It is very trickish courtyard where water appears to be not as water, but what is not water appears to be as water. And that's where we find the war to Kurukshetra starts, because Duryodhana walks into such palace and then he thinks that there is nothing there and he hits against the wall because he thought there is nothing there. And then he walks further and then he sees just plain floor, and then he steps onto it, but it was not just a floor, but it's a pool of water, and he drops into the pool of water. Some say that Mother Draupadi with her servant, she was in the balcony and she sees Duryodhana and she laughs, while others say that it's not true, because Mahabharata doesn't mention anywhere that particular episode. But many say that yes, that's the starting point, because Duryodhana, as we know, that is Durabhimani, is intolerably proud and he felt deeply insulted. So he returns back to his palace and says, I'm going to commit suicide. And so from there we have the rest of the pastime of Mahabharata unfolding. And Maya Dharava in our mind, he appears as the father-in-law of Ravana. But Mother Draupadi, Rama's wife, Mandodari. Some say that she is his own daughter, or some say that she is an adopted daughter. So, there we find that many pastimes there also. Then 29, the planetary system below Taratala is known as Mahatala. It is a god of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry. The great snakes who are prominent are Kuhaka, Takshaka, Kaliya, and Sushena. So the snakes in Mahatala are always disturbed by fear of Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. But although they are full of anxiety, some of them nevertheless sport with their wives, children, friends and relatives. Purport by Divine Krishna Prabhupada. It is stated here that the snakes who live in the planetary system known as Mahatala are very powerful and have many hooves. They live with their wives and children and consider themselves very happy, although they are always full of anxiety because of Garuda, who comes there to destroy them. This is a way of material life. Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, he still thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends and relatives. What is the pastime we are reminded of often about this last line? Even if one lives in the most abominable condition, he still thinks himself happy with his wife, children, friends and relatives.
His present situation?
Yeah, present situation. But in the scripture, often we give the example of Indra. He was cursed by Lord Brahma to become a hawk, and then he was so happy enjoying with his wife, children, the little piglets, and looking at his pitiable condition, Lord Brahma comes and says, "Come on, come back. Your throne is waiting for you." But Indra said, No, I'm very happy. Look at my beautiful wife, look at my lovely children. I'm so happy. Only when Brahma shows in his future that his master is coming to slaughter him, that the time when he said, "Oh, what a dangerous situation I am in." And of course, Brahma takes holy water and sprinkles on him. He comes back to his normal self, Indra. Then he realizes what a pitiable condition he was, an abominable condition he was, and still he felt that he was living very happily. So that is the material condition, and as Mataji said, the present condition we are in, the pandemic, we are in a very precarious situation, and yet we are moving on with our normal life. Think nothing is happening. No one knows what's going to happen when they go outside. We are in constant anxiety, constant fear. People, especially who have children below 12 years, they are in constant anxiety all over the world because they can't be given vaccination. Adults only can take the vaccination. And so therefore children below 12 are exposed to these adults who may not become severely sick, but they could be carriers. And when they become carriers, they come into contact with children, it's possible that the child may become positive. So therefore there is constant anxiety for the parents and for the teachers who are working in schools, I can say. So therefore, and yet, we seem to be feeling, okay, I'm in a happy situation with my wife, children and family. Life, that his Guru Maharaj Sukracharya revised his life with Sanjeevani, and then he makes him perform sacrifice. With that he gains power, he receives the blessings, and at the same time Indra receives curses from his Gurudev, and in the process, once again Bali Maharaj attacks Indra, and then he regains back all the three worlds. So that was the background of Bali Maharaj. And so we have heard last two sessions how Vamanadeva, in the form of a Brahmana, he comes and asks for three steps of land, and his Gurudev Shukracharya tells him that, look, he is not an ordinary Brahmana, he is Lord Vishnu himself, and he has come to take away your land. Don't do it. Imagine if we are in Bali Chakravarti's position. Here is our Gurudev. Because of whom I am existing, because I died in the battlefield, it's Shukracharya Gurudev who has revived or has given me back my life. And therefore, I remain indebted to such a Guru. And not only he gave me back my life, but he empowered me to see that I can attack Indra and regain back my, he could take his revenge because his father was killed. So all that the kingdom he has, all the opulences he has right now is because of Shukracharya, his Gurudev. And now Gurudev is telling him, don't give those three of land or three steps of land, because the person who has come is not a Brahmana, just a Brahmana, but he is Lord Vishnu himself. And then Shukracharya quotes Shastic injection. There is nothing wrong in withdrawing, in not honoring your word, because you did not say Om. So therefore Sankalpa is not complete, and hence you can withdraw your promise. I am wondering, if I were in his shoes, what will we do? Will we give that three steps of land to the Brahmana, or listen to Gurudev? So this is where we find that here is my external basket and here is my internal basket. That external basket, typically, Manasiksha, Raghunatha Goswami says that it has that dharma artha kama moksha, the liberation. Then it also has the karma, jnana, tapa, yoga. This is the part of the external basket. Then the six opulences which the Lord has, and therefore as Amsa, we also crave in the material world the fame, strength, knowledge, beauty, renunciation. And external basket also has got the four sinful activities. Now this is on one side which Bali Maharaj is having, that all the appearances he is able to see external to himself. And on the side you have the internal basket, in which there are the eightfold truths according to Manasiksha, and then in that internal basket you are required to serve Lord Vishnu. More particularly, Raghunatha Goswami says Radha Girithali and Vaishnavas and devotees. So Bali Maharaj, he received the instruction from Shukracharya, but his understanding of Vedic scripture, his understanding of the scriptural essence was so deep, he was so much in conviction that he had understood the instruction from Shukracharya that when Lord Vishnu comes, you should give him everything. So that was the instruction which Shukracharya himself had given earlier. And that's the essence he has understood from the Vedic scripture, and therefore Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, comes to off with a request for 3 steps. Bali Chakravarti did not hesitate to trade off his external basket, which has these elements, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all the fame, strength, knowledge, beauty, all the kingdom, whatever it is he has. That is the external basket he has. All that which was contained in the external basket, he traded off. He just gave it away. He said, it's not worth holding it, because in any case, after my death, I'm going to lose it. And Lord Vishnu himself has come. What a great honor that Lord Vishnu has come at your doorstep and asked you for the 3 steps, and then you should be happily willing to give it away. Because you want something internal so that you can give away the external. And we are clinging on to the externals. That's the problem as an individual. If I place my shoes, myself in Bali Chakravarti's shoe, I'm holding on to what little property I have, what little bank balance I've got, what tiny, insignificant job I'm doing, and then Bali Chakravarti has given away everything for the sake of internal development, for the sake of the purity of love towards the Supreme Lord. And we can see this example in our own lineage, in its competency, that we have, there are devotees who have placed themselves on the firing line, like Bali Chakravarti. They did not hesitate to give off everything. They did not hold back anything. They gave away everything. And there are devotees who say, we have to balance our life. Thought a job is needed, little income should be there. I have to take care of my family. I have to meet my personal needs. I should have some future income whenever I retire, and then I do some devotional service also. So we find these two categories. So Shukracharya was trying to say that there's nothing wrong in holding back, because you need to take care of your family, you need to take care of your children, so therefore don't give it away. So this is one category of persons. Or you can say some of them fall into this category. Okay, it's not extreme. Some balance of life. When we do the balance of life, it's good for the life, good for the family, good for society, good for everyone. But at the other end, we have devotees who stand on the firing line or who have given away everything. When spiritual master is requested, Vamadeva was requested for 3 steps, whereas there in this form we find Srila Prabhupada has requested, and then the devotees have given away everything. We have such wonderful, inspiring examples like Bali Chakravarti in our movement, in the form of, there are many, but I just mentioned about 2-3 who touched my heart. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, then His Holiness Jayapadar Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktisar Swami Maharaj. Just as Bali Maharaj has given away everything in his life to attain the pure love of God, similarly, we find His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He was a business, I think he's a qualified business management in spite, he was qualified in business management. He was working for, I think, Pepsi Cola, if I'm not mistaken. And he was married, and according to website, I have vaguely remembered, he was married to a devotee. But yet, when Prabhupada requested him to go back to India, he was in Canada, back to India and translate books into Hindi, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj gave away the family life. He had, I think he has children also, one or two kids. He gave away the family life and took the sannyas at a very young age, in 30 to 34 years, and then he has translated books into Srila Prabhupada, books into Hindi, and under whose guidance in Delhi, I think some 12 or 13 temples have come into existence. Then similarly, we find in the life of Bhakti Saraswami Maharaj, he was born in an aristocratic family and he went to Germany for higher education, and there he came in contact with devotees and the books on Sanatana Dharma, Vedic scripture, and then he came back to India. He took two sannyas, and Prabhupada instructed him to translate books into Bengali and I think Oriya.
Yeah.
And so he translated books of Srila Prabhupada into Bengali and Oriya, on both, I'm not sure. But so here we find, just as Bali Maharaj has given up everything, so here also we find wonderful personalities in Bhakti Saraswami Maharaj and his holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. And similarly we find Jai Madhaswami Maharaj, who at the age of 21 years he was given sannyas. At a very young age, 21 years, he was given sannyas, and he required, Prabhupada requested Maharaj to relocate himself to India, and since then he has been serving from Mayapur. So we find that it's not just in the books of Srimad Bhagavatam that such exalted devotees are there, but we also find in our own lifetime we can see such exalted devotees in our movement who are the forefront and leading the society from the upfront in the battle of fighting with Maya Devi. And then very close to us, very close to our heart, right in many temples, including in our temple, we have the next line of devotees who can inspire us with their total sacrifice. We have brahmacharis, we have brahmacharis. It's not that they are not qualified, they are equally very well qualified. But seeing or reading the instructions as given by their Gurudev, by Srila Prabhupada, it has touched them in their heart, and they gave away the external basket. The so-called wealth, the so-called qualifications, and so-called fame and positions associated with their qualification, everything, Tucha, they just left it. And serving Srila Prabhupada's movement wonderfully, following in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj, following the footsteps of His Holiness Jai Prakash Swami Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and others, Bhakti Chandra Swami Maharaj. And then we are the other set of congregation members who are, okay, we need to balance our life. We are trying to balance our life. It's like in, we have the joint sector in India where public participation, 51%, 49% participation with private. Therefore, it's a joint sector. So in our life also, we are training whether it is 51% spirituality, 49% private life, or 49% private life and 51% spirituality. Which one we don't know. Depends on the individual. One needs to ask for themselves. But that's the balanced life the other communities living. That's also glorious because they do not fall into the category of completely the external basket of always spending their life in terms of material comfort. You know, these devotees are required for the community, otherwise people will be scared and run away that, whoa, we can't take a Krishna consciousness, because the moment we take a Krishna consciousness, we need to leave everything and become brahmacharis and brahmacharis. No, Baba, we can't do that. So therefore, here we have some balance, devotees for balancing their life, and this is somewhat, well, closer to my way of thinking, and therefore they can also form the inspiration for others. So therefore we find a chain. The front line, the battle is being led by the Maharajas, or gurus in the front, giving away everything. Then we have the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, and then we have the grihasthas who are balancing their life, but equally participating in inspiring others to take to Krishna consciousness. In the process, they are getting, we are getting purified. So here we find Bali Maharaj has given everything, but yet at the end he was tied up by the ropes of Varuna. So we wonder why Lord has tied him up even after giving up everything. So maybe we can say that he allowed that to happen to show to the world that how glorious is Bali Maharaj, that although with pride he invaded Amravati, but that is not his core nature. He is a humble person. So when he was tied to Varuna, he did not rebel. He said, how come the Lord is tying me up, although I have given him everything? On the contrary, he was feeling blissful that, look at my grandfather. Prahlad was an exalted devotee, and in front of him, I am nothing. And so that typical Vaishnava quality, we find Bali Maharaj displays in that difficult situation. So it's a lesson for me, when I am put in difficult situation, when I am going through turbulences in my life, can I display the character of Bali Maharaj? It's not that I should imitate, because when I say imitate, someone doesn't strike me properly. But if you take imitation in terms of Hindi, nakli, so then that makes it strikes my heart, oh, this is nakli. We have in kitchen saffron, but equally the other colors we call nakli colors, so it imitates. Therefore, here I find if I push a place in the turbulences of life, can I remain steady in Krishna consciousness and take it as a blessing, or take it as mercy of the Lord, and then climb up or move through that with purification and rise in my consciousness? Because I find, with my little experience, we say that padam padam vipadam na tesham, every step there is danger, but actually that danger, so called danger, or the turbulences or the waves are placed or given in the material world to the individual to tell us that this is temporary and this is not a place where we should be, and therefore when we are placed in that difficult situation, are we taking to Krishna consciousness, or are we taking to gambling and then intoxication and then moving away from the Lord? So these are the waves which are placed in our life, so that we can take to, we can become more serious in Krishna consciousness. And we also find, Manasiksha, Raghunath Goswami talks about the spiritually ignorant and spiritually intelligent. So here Bali Maharaj falls under the category of spiritually intelligent, and he knows what exactly is good for himself, and therefore he gives away everything to Mani Maharaj. And in return, because now he has become purified, even after what he was tied with the ropes, he did not feel it as if he has done something great. He felt that small, that what is it I am giving? Nothing belongs to me, it belongs to the Lord himself, and then he has it is gone back to him. So in that, he was so much purified his consciousness. It's like the gold nugget, you place it in fire, then all the dirt, it melts away, it gets separated, and the pure 24 karat gold come out. So there is this process, we find the 24 karat gold-like personality of Bali Maharaj surfaces to the external world, and therefore we can see inspiration from his activity. Not that we imitate his actions, but we follow in his footsteps. And we already find that exalted personalities in ISKCON and in traditions following in Bodhpur Samudaya, there are personalities who are following in that path and inspiring the rest of the world. Then the next verse, so therefore when Ravana comes to where Bali Chakravarti was there, and as we all know that Ravana is another well-known powerful king, and he was in his previous life Jayavijay, and he comes to attack Bali Maharaj. Here we find an attack on Bali Maharaj, but elsewhere we also read that he comes to seek help of Bali Maharaj against Lord Rama when he was about to lose the war. He wanted to seek the help of Bali Maharaj. And there we find that Bali Maharaj shows him a huge mountain with the diamonds and said, "You can take this." Then Ravana could not even lift that mountain. And then Bali Maharaj reminds him that, look, this was your earring in your previous life when you were killed by the same Lord, and now you are not even able to lift that earring. What do you think is going to be your power? So that's one aspect we find about Ravana in relationship to Bali Chakravarti. But here we find that he comes to attack Bali Chakravarti, and it is said that in his palace there were 12 gates, and Ravana tries to enter from all the 12 gates, but he couldn't do it. But Lord Vamana, he kicks him, and then he falls back into, I believe, Lanka. Or in this case, they said, Sudev Goswami said that he fell 80,000 miles away. Then we find Sutala is another planet, and below the Sutala is called Kalakala, which is ruled by the Danava demon named. Now when you look at this planetary system, if you are a builder, you find that you are constructing a multi-story flat. So you have the 7 floors above, there is a basement, and in the basement there are 7 floors below. So if you look at this property, this is somewhat similar to the 14th planetary system. And the floors above, you are on the, you can say, ground floor, and there are above 6 floors. So the ground floor is the Bhuloka, and the above the 6 planetary systems, they belong to the higher planetary system, Bhurloka, then right up to Satyaloka. So there are 6 planetary systems above the Bhuloka, and there are 7 planetary systems below us. And the 7, you can say the 7 floors below the basement of that multi-story flat is the, you can say the Sutala, Talatala, and then up to Pakala. And obviously, those of you who are familiar with that basement, you don't get any light there. You don't have any light. So one can visualize that basement as completely a dark place. And that dark place is where we find the demons are living. And how is that place illuminated? That place is illuminated with the jewels on their head. And the light is coming from that. His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj, commenting on that aspect, he says that maybe you can take an analogy. The snake has got a long body. So how is this basement illuminated? You have a long wire, a cable. So that cable is similar to the long body of a snake. And at the end of that cable, you have a bulb glowing. So that bulb is similar to the jewel on the snake hood. So therefore, that is illuminating that particular area. And he makes a comment saying that it's the light which comes from the fire. And from where is the fire in the lower planet system where the snakes are? It is the poison. He said that the liquid, the poison, you can say it is a liquid poison, and that liquid poison is considered to be the fire, and that fire is what illuminates that particular area. And so that's the place where we have Dhanava Maya living, and Maya is a master in invoking powers of sorcery. We'll try to hear the pastime of Arjuna and Krishna, how Lord Krishna weaves the pastime of Mahabharata befitting his personality. He's like a writer, so he is writing the Mahabharata storyline, and he is able to think thousand steps ahead. And here we find that Indradeva has performed a fire sacrifice over a long period of time, I think thousands of years. And in the process, lot of ghee was poured in the fire sacrifice, and Agnideva becomes, his stomach becomes, it causes indigestion. So therefore, we need to be careful equally. If I am taking a lot of prasadam with made up of ghee, there is a possibility that it may cause indigestion. Yes, it should be taken on as a prasadam, but if I indulge in it, there is a point, there is a possibility that it may cause indigestion. So here we find Mayadana, he was, Agnidev, he consumed so much of ghee that it caused indigestion to him. He tried everything, nothing worked for him. Then he goes to the doctor, and the doctor said that there is a forest called Kandava forest. And the Kandava forest is full of herbs. And if you can consume that forest, then your indigestion gets cured. So go and consume that forest. But whenever he tries to consume that forest, there is the snake there living, and that snake, I think the snake, it is called, I think Takshaka, if I am not mistaken. So that snake is a friend of Indra, and then whenever Agnidev tries to consume that forest, that snake would appeal to Indradev, and Indradev would send heavy rain would put off the fire. Like here, when we have the fire, lots of water is poured. So similarly, we pray for the rain, but otherwise we pour water to quell the fire. And here, we find the same. Indradev sends torrents of rain, and Agnidev says, what can I do? And he approaches Narada. And Narada, as usual, he says, go and take shelter of Arjuna. But don't tell him that you are, what your intention is. Because Arjuna is the son of Indra. So if you tell him beforehand, he will not pick up a quarrel with Indra. So therefore, don't do that. So he approaches Indra. I mean, at that time, Lord Krishna takes Arjuna for a vihara or just for sightseeing, where to Kandava forest. And when he takes there, then Mayavara, he comes there and seeks shelter. He says, what is that you want? He says that you promise me you give me protection, then I'll tell you. Arjuna gives the protection. Then he says that I want to consume this forest, but I can't do it. Then they ask, what's the problem? Then he narrates that, look, whenever I try to consume this forest, Indradev sends rain, and therefore I am not able to consume. Arjuna realizes, okay, here is, I have to fight with my own father. But Krishna tells Mahadeva, Mahadana, that we have come here without our weapons, just like that, for sightseeing, how can we fight? Because Krishna wanted Arjuna to have weapons for the future Mahabharata war, and therefore he says that, okay, that's not a problem. Arjuna says, I'll give you all the weapons. So therefore he gives Gandiva, bow, and the other celestial weapons to Arjuna, and using that, Arjuna creates a beautiful blanket over Kandava forest, and no matter what Indra does in sending the clouds, the forest could be consumed by Agnidev, and therefore his indigestion becomes cured. But in the process there, Mayadhava was with the, his friend, I'm not remembering whether it was Takshaka or some other demon, he was there, and that one of them dies. I think Takshaka runs away, and then he wants to take revenge against Arjuna, and therefore in Mahabharata war he becomes the snake weapon in the armory of Karna. But the Mayadhara demon was running away, and at that time Sudarshan Chakra was picked up by Lord Krishna, but Mayadhara falls at their feet. So the please spare my life. Then Krishna says, fine, okay, we'll not kill you. And in return, he says that I'm an architect, I'm an engineer, and I can build beautiful palace which can trick everyone. So Krishna requests Mayadana to construct that Mayasabha for Pandavas. So that becomes the palace, and that's where we find Duryodhana was insulted, and then that led to the sequence of steps which eventually led to Mahabharata war, where Lord Krishna could give Bhagavad Gita. That was his desire to give the instruction, because he was lost for a period of time. So we find that the Mahakala although they have, it is very powerful, listen, that place is having all the comforts, but still they live in anxiety because of the fear of death. Garuda may come and then destroy them. So summarizing today's session, we find that we have two baskets, an external basket and an internal. The mind always goes to external basket, which can offer a lot of material comforts. Whereas the internal basket is regaining your constitutional position as the servant, the spirit soul, not just the spirit soul, but as the servant of the Lord. So Bali Chakravarti trades his externals. When the mind normally goes to external, he trades it off, he gives it off, because he knows very well that has no value, and instead he regains his constitutional position as the servant of the Lord. And the last trace in him, if someone says that he was egoistic, and that also has disappeared, Lord shows that even that place was not there in Bhakti. Chakravarti, when he ties him with the Varuna rope, he is blissful. And seeing that now that Bali Chakravarti is a pure devotee, once a person becomes a pure devotee, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamayamamsho Jiva Loka, he is my Amsa. So therefore the spirit soul has regained that understanding, that realization, he is the Amsa of the Lord. So therefore Lord sees that Amsa as not different from him, and he gives all the comfort, whatever is required, he gives it back. So therefore although Bali Chakravarti left the external, cleared off the external, but he got back the external, not because of that he has given the external, therefore Krishna Lord Vamana facilitated, because he was a pure devotee and he knew that Lord, I mean, the devotee is not going to misuse the wealth given to him, but he had that desire, therefore he gives it back. And then we find there are other planetary systems, like the lower planetary system, the seven lower planetary systems where the demonic persons live. And there they have all the comforts, but their comforts still give them anxiety because the death can come any time. Seeing the inspiration of Bali Chakravarti, we have exalted personalities in our own movement who can inspire us to stand on the firing line in the front. So they are waging the war against Maya and leading the rest of the ISKCON community to participate in this war. To see that what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in every town, village, my holy name will be chanted. So therefore, they are the frontline chief warriors, and then we have the rest of us following in there, supporting them, help, complementing their effort to the extent it's possible for us, so that one day we find in every town and village, Lord Krishna's holy name can be chanted. Yeah, with this, I'll close the session. Although I wanted to speak something more, but now the time has come to an end. Any questions or any comment?
Just a quick question. Sukracharya is the guru of Bali Maharaj, but Bali Maharaj is doing the right thing, but why is Sukracharya has refused to do that? Yes. Against that, he's cursing him also. But he should be guiding him to progressives and other parties, and other way around, he's cursed him.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, the question is that why Shukracharya is cursing his disciple Bali Chakravarti instead of guiding him properly? Answers can be given at different levels. At one level, we can say that he is a typical Brahmana guru and he cares for his own position. If Bali Chakravarti loses everything, then what about me? What is my selfish interest? How do I survive? Who will look after me? Because the Brahmanas are required to be taken care of by the king. So the king goes away, who will take? That's one way of one level. But another level, Shukracharya is participating in the Leela of the Lord. And therefore, if we read to the pastime in the 8th canto, Shukracharya was inspired by the Lord to curse Bali Chakravarti. And therefore Shukracharya curses.
When Lord Vamandev kicked Ravana, so where did he actually fell down?
It is, at least I have seen on a website, it is, I'm not sure because I don't remember reading in Ramayana, but I vaguely remember to have read on a website that when he was king, he fell back into Sri Lanka. he falls back into his own kingdom, Lanka.
Back to home, huh?
Back home. Yeah, because Sukala is below the earth, so many thousands of miles. So from where he kicks him, he comes above into Lanka.
Into earth. So that means that is the distance between earth and that. So
that, yeah, that distance, we should say, if you calculate, maybe it's 80,000 miles or 800,000 miles. Yeah, we have similar situation, not exactly, but whenever Lord feels that his devotees are being put to a difficult situation, Lord intervenes, and we find a similar pastime, somewhat similar, in the life of Sripada Ramanujacharya. Sripada Ramanujacharya, he visits Puri, and then he was trying to point out the mistakes of the Pandas, the way they perform the puja to Lord Jagannath, and then Lord Jagannath feels unhappy because his puja is getting disturbed, and therefore what does he do? He transfers Sripada Ramanujacharya back to Sri Lanka from Puri to Sri Lanka. So that's not 800,000 miles, but it is a couple of hundreds of miles between Puri and Sri Lanka. So here also, when Balachakravarti, his devotee, is getting disturbed, then Vamandeva kicks him, and therefore he falls. So therefore we should be very careful when we deal with the devotees, because our dealing should not cause any difficulty or any unpleasantness to a devotee. If that happens, from these pastimes, we see that the Lord becomes unhappy. The Lord is unhappy. And the result of that, we know that He will kick us.
It's the other way around. If you make the devotee happy, then He brings us happy.
Yeah. So that is the process. Gopabhartha Pagakamalayo Dasa Dasa Dasa. So serve the devotee, then you become closer to the Lord. But if you oppose the devotee, you cause injury to the devotee, and then Lord becomes unhappy, and the result we know from the past. Gandharva Bhagavan ki
jai,
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.